Thank you so much to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves.
I don't know about you guys, but every time I'm PMSing, I feel beyond off. Like, something is not right when I'm PMSing. And ever since I started Hormone Harmony, I swear it has changed my life.
Like, I'm not even kidding you. Before I experienced Hormone Harmony, I was getting the most insane cravings, bloating, feeling super off randomly, and even sometimes not getting good quality sleep. And y'all know how important sleep is to me. Like, it is my number one thing. So I wanted to take the reins on my health, specifically my hormone health. And that's why I started taking Hormone Harmony.
Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. There are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony.
If you don't know what Hormone Harmony is, let me just tell you. It supports hormonal balance and regulation, supports cortisol, estrogen, improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas. It even can relieve mood swings. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it.
For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code MOVES at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code MOVES, M-O-V-E-S, code MOVES for 15% off today.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Making Moves with TK. I'm so excited to be doing a solo episode because it's been a while, and that was my initial game plan, is to kind of do like one solo, one guest, one solo, one guest. But then I got the opportunity to host a bunch of amazing, epic guests. So I just kind of like pushed my solos to the side, and I really took the time to outline this episode. I mean, I'm sure you saw the title. It's called 25 Things I Learned at 25. I just turned 25, oh gosh, a few weeks ago, like 2 weeks ago now. And I already feel different. Like, not in a like, oh my God, I'm so much more mature way. It's just like, I feel different. I don't know how, I don't know. It's just, I feel like this is the first time I've ever turned any age other than 21 that I'm like, whoa, this just feels different. Also, the number 25 to me just seems like kind of old. I'm sorry if you're 25 or older and you're like, that is not old. But to me, I'm like, whoa, like quarter life crisis. Here we go. I'm also very excited for 25 because my brain is now fully developed. And my old roommate, Peyton, always said that 25 was the best year of her life. So I'm looking forward to that. And I don't know, I feel like more than ever, I am like ready to put myself first. I'm ready to like say no to things that I don't want to do instead of just because of their, just because they're convenient. I'm excited to like see where I take myself and my brand and I don't know, all the things. But yeah, thank you so much for tuning in. Let me know if you like solo episodes at all, because I would be happy to do more. They just take me a little bit more time to outline. It's so weird. You'd think I would be like more nervous to have a guest on, but actually I'm like more nervous to talk by myself. I think it's because then I like actually have to like think about what I'm feeling, like go into my like emotions and my feelings. And I don't know. I wanted to like do well, in the sense like I want you guys to learn something or be entertained or, you know, maybe take a tip or trick or, you know, something, some piece of something from these episodes. So I definitely do try and put more time and effort towards the outline. So let me know if you like them. Here we go. 25 things I learned at 25. Keep in mind, I've only been 25 for 2 weeks, so there's still a lot to learn this year. Maybe I will do the same episode in a year from now. But let's forking go. Put on your seatbelts, baby. Let's forking go. Also, if you are in your kitchen cleaning right now, if you are on the treadmill doing your 12-3-30, Lauren Giraldo, shout out right now. If you're just sitting on the couch about to go to bed, whatever the case is, turn it up a notch, because I'm going to give you some good tips and tricks of what I learned in these 25 years. I can't even believe I'm 25. Like, what the fork? In my head, I like feel 21 just because I feel like I entered this like industry kind of when I was 21. I mean, I moved to LA when I was a week after I turned 18, but like I actually started like working in this world at 21. So in my head, I like feel like I'm still 21. It's crazy. I definitely don't feel 25, but whatever. Here we go. Okay. First thing, number one, that first came to my mind is JOMO, which is the joy of missing out. As you know, if you've been a consistent listener to Making Moves, I talked about in the beginning of this year in my like New Year's resolutions, I was saying how I really wanted to get better at saying no and like not having FOMO to things. So I feel like, you know, it's been 6 months now and I feel like I have been absolutely killing the not having FOMO. Like where I once was with FOMO versus where I am now, I am so proud of my progress. I feel like I literally, you guys, used to not be satisfied or happy no matter what I chose. So whether it was me going out or me staying in, like I was not happy either way, because when I would go out, I'd be like, oh, I should have stayed home. I should have got my video up. I should have just rested. This isn't that fun. Like I would put so much pressure on the night. And then if I stayed in, I would be like lurking on my friends, like Instagram stories, Snap stories, whatever it is. Like it pained me watching the stories, because I would be like, oh my God, like they're having so much fun without me. I'm not even like being that productive right now. I'm not even fully resting. Like I'm half-assing this edit or like whatever I would be doing normally editing. And I don't know. I feel like I just was never like relaxed or satisfied with my decision. So I really like JOMO is like a huge thing in my life now. And I want to teach y'all to enjoy it. And like, I don't know. These are the tips and tricks I've learned in regards to JOMO, which is the joy of missing out now, because that's how I look at it. First of all, this is like all stuff you've heard before, but I just need to reiterate, nothing is as fun as it seems on social media. Specifically on nights out, like when people are quote unquote partying. I'm sorry. Anytime I'm posting in real time at a party, I am not having that much fun. You know why? Because first of all, I'm not that drunk because I'm on my phone like posting. Second of all, again, what I just said, I'm on my phone posting. Like, trust me, the most fun nights I've ever had in my entire life, like I am locked into the night. Like I'm not on my phone. I'm not getting content. I completely forget about the fact that I can even like take photos, get content, do a TikTok, like whatever the case is. Like if I'm having a great night, that's normally means I am like fully zoned into my friends, the hot boy I have a crush on, like whatever it is. And that means it was a good ass night. The nights where I'm posting in real time, like at 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m., midnight, like that means I'm not having that much fun, because believe it or not, putting a story up, like when you're an influencer, takes time. Like I know you guys are like, LOL, it's just a story frame, like whatever. But like, for me, I want to like make it funny, add funny music, or like put funny text or put aesthetic text, like whatever I'm feeling. Tagging people, like that takes time and effort, and I need to be like fully in the zone. It needs to have my full attention when I'm storying or like, you know, posting a TikTok. Don't even get me started on TikTok. Like TikTok, if someone is making a TikTok while they're out, like listening to the sound, editing it, making sure it's on the right beat, like doing the lip sync, doing it again because you didn't get it right the first time. Like, I'm sorry, if people are doing that, yes, that is fun. Yes, that is fun to do with your friends. I do it all the time. But like, keep in mind, like if people are doing that, like that's the most fun thing that they're doing. Does that make sense? Like the rest of the night or the bar or whatever, wherever they're at, is not that fun because they're making a TikTok instead of like actually enjoying the present moment. Does that make sense? So I always try and remember that now. And I feel like what truly made me believe that people weren't having that fun when they were posting their like stories and shit is I started recognizing it myself when I would go out and I was like really good at posting or really good at getting content or like I got great photos. I realized like, damn, like that night was like low-key not that fun. Like, of course it was fun. It's fun to take pictures with your friends. Of course, like I like getting my content for the gram or whatever it is, but in the present time, like it wasn't that fun. But I made the most out of it by like getting photos and stuff. Does that make sense? I feel like part of this is confusing to people that like don't give a fork about taking photos. I just like the way I see taking photos or getting content. Sometimes I'm like, okay, well, if all else fails, at least I'll get stuff for my job. Does that make sense? Some of y'all are probably like, what the fork is she talking about? But one other thing I kind of live by in regards to this is if it's not a fork yes, it's a fork no. So when someone now asks me to hang out, they're like, hey, do you want to come to this party on the West Side on Saturday? Like, if it's not a fork yes, my answer, like, immediately, then in my head, it's a fork no. Like, if I'm dilly-dallying about, like, whether I should do that or whether I should stay home, like, if it's not a fork yes, it's a fork no. Those are words to live by. And I'm not kidding you. I am so much more happy and relaxed and just overall happy, like, because I don't have as much FOMO anymore. And a few major things that have helped me not have FOMO is not having guilt when I choose to relax versus work. Because in my head, if I wouldn't go out to party, I was like, I better be working. But now I have found how much more productive I am like during the week if I actually choose to relax. And one way that I have helped myself relax is coloring. You guys are probably laughing right now, but like dead ass, I ordered so many fun, like, adult coloring books from Amazon. They're so cheap. I've linked them on my Instagram story, so definitely look at, like, my highlights on my Instagram. It's at TK's Juicy Polls. But I found this one, and it's, like, I'm not even a smoker at all, but I think it's so funny. It's, like, Disney characters that are, like, smoking or, like, smoking a hookah or whatever, and it's, like, literally Ariel, like, smoking a hookah. And I just color while I watch, like, Real Housewives or whatever it is, and it is, like, the best time. I look forward to it, genuinely. So find something that, like, you know will give you guaranteed fun, whether that's, like, your guilty pleasure. That's watching Grey's Anatomy. That's watching Housewives. That's watching, like, your favorite YouTuber, whatever it is. Okay, number two is risks are what take you to the next level. So every time I've taken a ginormous or even small risk in my life, that's what's helped me progress my entire life forward. Like, I feel like I'm always trying to move forward as a human being, whether that's spiritually, whether that's mentally, physically, like in a work setting, my relationships, friend-wise. Like, I always want to be moving forward. I always want to be changing. I always want to be getting better. And honestly, people that say, like, you've changed, and they're not on board with that, like, that's their problem, not mine. I always want to be moving forward. That's a compliment to me if I've changed. So that being said, when you come to a fork in the road and there is a risk you have to take to get to the next place where you want to be, of course, marinate on it, figure out how to attack it the best way. But I'm talking to myself here, like, take the risk. Like, the worst that can happen is you go back to where you started, you learn something new, you figure out a way to reroute or pivot. And risks really they've all been rewarding to me in some capacity. And that doesn't just mean like, oh, they've all been game-changing, like life-changing risks. Like, sometimes they're like little things here and there, like trying a new spot or trying a new go-to spot or going on a date or whatever the case is. For me, the biggest risks that come to mind are, one, like moving to LA. Hello. So scary. Moved across the country. Didn't know a soul. Like, my life is forever changed because I did that. Another thing is moving into the current apartment I'm in. It's crazy watching my progression. And this isn't for me to be like, oh, look how far I've come. I'm just trying to show you, like, and be so real. If you followed me, you know, because I'm like very open about this stuff. But like, when I moved into my current apartment with my roommate, I was like afraid if I could afford it fully. Like, I was like, oh gosh, like, I'll take the smaller room, you take the master. Can I fully afford this? I'm nervous. Like, I wasn't even making really great money on YouTube yet. I had just started. I was really nervous, like, genuinely. And I'm so glad I took the risk of, like, leveling up my life and, like, moving into my dream apartment because, I mean, y'all know, like, I feel like moving into the apartment itself, like, has become a part of my brand. Like, people love the city, like, skyline in the background, in the back of my videos, like the couch. Even taking this as small of a risk as getting that weird ass couch that I have. Like, I did not want that couch to begin with. I wanted like a dupe for the Restoration Cloud couch. And my roommate at the time, Peyton, was like, no, I feel like this one's cool and funky. Like, we should get this. I was like, oh, that's so weird. I don't know if I love that. And I'm so glad that I even took that risk because look at how much like my brand is that couch now and like how much of a wow factor it brings to like me and my apartment. And it makes me so happy. Like, I've never been more happy in a home setting. Like, I'm absolutely obsessed with my apartment. It makes me so happy and it's worth every penny to me. One thing that I love about risks too is the saying, necessity is the mother of invention. My mom taught me this. So I use this phrase all the time in life. This is literally what I thought of when I took the risk of moving into the apartment by myself and paying not only like my side of the rent, but now paying my roommate's half of the rent because she was moving out. I was like, you know what? Necessity is the mother of invention. And what that means is, fork, if I have to pay rent, I'm going to figure it out. And sure enough, I did, which is crazy. Like, I can't. There was a time where I was like, there's no way I'll be able to do that. Now I'm like, this is crazy. This is like my regular scheduled programming. Like, every at the top of the month, I'm like ready to go because I made it work. I uploaded way more. I like took on more deals. Like, whatever you have to do, most of the time you'll figure it out. And it's really rewarding because I feel like I've built a trust with myself, being like, whoa, if I can do that, I can do this. And it just like motivates me. And I've built a lot of trust within myself. Like, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, and I made it work. So, even that, I'm trying to think of, you know, there's multiple risks I've taken, small to big. Those are some big ones as examples. But yeah, take the risk, try it, rip off the Band-Aid. The worst that can happen is you end up being where you are right now and not moving forward. But at the end of the day, you'll move forward in a different direction, whether that's the one you chose or expected or a different route. Thank you so much to Apartments.com for sponsoring this episode of Making Moves. Apartments.com believes a dishwasher does more than just clean plates. It turns your whole place into a time machine by turning the time you would have spent washing dishes into extra time for you. That could mean more time to read, more time to knit, or more time to contemplate the vastness of time itself. With Apartments.com, finding somewhere to live with an elusive dishwashing / time-expanding device is easy. Apartments.com hosts the most rental listings with over 1 million available units. And with comprehensive search tools and instant alerts, you never have to worry about missing out on the perfect place. To find whatever you're searching for and more, visit Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
The one thing that has kept me sane throughout the 75 hard challenge, and more importantly, has kept me hydrated the most, is Liquid IV. Y'all, when I tell you, I literally crave Liquid IV. Like, the lemon lime flavor lives rent-free in my head. First of all, it just always quenches my thirst, but it is perfectly sour and has that tangy taste to it, and it's just so good. Like a nice cold, crisp glass of Liquid IV. Oh my gosh, mwah! Sounds so good. Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drinks, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. So I actually just taste tested all of the flavors for you guys, the pear, the white peach, the green grape, and the lemon lime. And I have to tell you, I still think lemon lime is my favorite. But my second favorite is green grape. And then my third favorite, believe it or not, is pear. I'm actually shocked by how much I like pear. And then in fourth place for me was the white peach. My favorite thing about Liquid IV is how convenient it is, especially because I am always on the go. I am booked and busy, and I'm sure you guys are too. So being able to pack it so easily in a purse or a carry-on or whatever the case is, like my work bag, I always have a Liquid IV in there because throughout my day, I get so thirsty and nothing truly satisfies my thirst craving other than a Liquid IV. Like, it is so good. I literally want to make one right now. And listen, drinking water is great. Like, I've been drinking so much water while doing the 75 hard challenge, but one stick of Liquid IV in 16 ounces of water hydrates you way better than water alone. And I love it because I feel like it actually revives me. And the best part about it is that there's no artificial sweeteners and zero sugar. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier, sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TK at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop better hydration today using promo code TK at liquidiv.com.
Number 3 is, y'all have heard it, but if you think you're beaten, you are. This is a quote from my dad. Well, it's a quote from someone. It's like, you know the whole quotes. If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you like to win but don't think you can, it's almost a sense you won't. So essentially, it's like goes on and on, but it's all about the state of mind. Like, life is all in the state of mind. Like, really, truly think about it. If you think you are beaten, you are. And I think that's so true. I use it, I'm not kidding you, for everything in life. Like, I'm always constantly telling Alicia, I'm telling Ashley, I'm telling my friends, I'm telling my family. When you are in a situation, even today, I was like on my way here, really stressed out. I was like anxious about something else. And I was worried about being focused on this podcast. And I was like, you know what? Let's take a minute. If you think you're beaten, you are. Like, come on. I think of it all the time too when I'm working out. Like, I'll be like, just run one more mile. Like, people always say running is like in the state of mind, or it's like a mental game. I'm like, just run one more mile. Like, if you think you can, you'll be able to. So yeah, that's number 3. Number 4 is, every man is for themselves. I feel like this one kind of surprised me because I am such a like team player type of girly. Like, I love bouncing off ideas with other people. I love working together as a unit. I'm so big on like relationships with my family, my friends, my coworkers, whatever the case is. But one thing LA in particular has really taught me is, every man is for themselves. And it's kind of like, I think of like the Hunger Games. Like, no matter who you form an alliance with, aka like your friends, your family, your best coworker friends, like whatever it is, at the end of the day, when push comes to shove and they need to choose whether they're going to help you or help themselves, they're going to choose to help themselves. So I think like reminding myself that is always helpful for me in the long run, and makes me like less upset when people don't show up for me or help me in a way I expected. Like, I just try and remember, like, at the end of the day, every man is for themselves. They have their own shit going on. You know, maybe they just found out one of their family members passed away and I have no idea or whatever. I know that's extreme, but, like, shit happens. That's happened to me before and no one's known. And I just was, like, doing my life and I needed to stay in. And that's why I stayed in instead of just telling you I just canceled because I wanted to work. Like, there's so many times where you just have no idea what's going on and people are just trying to figure it out for themselves. So don't take things too personally. And of course, it's like very rewarding and awesome knowing you can rely on people or that they have your back. But I think it's even more rewarding when you know, like, if you were to lose everyone tomorrow, you would still be okay because you have yourself. So I try and remember that too, because in that way, like, when people do disappoint me because it's inevitable, I'm fine. I'm okay. Even like prime examples, like my parents getting divorced. Like I was like reliant so much on them as a unit and like as a partnership. And I like was so let down that they got divorced. I know some people are probably going to be like, it's not that big of a deal. To me, it was. And knowing that I could like rely on myself, like there was a while where I just like couldn't even talk to my parents because I was so mad at them. And knowing, like, going through that and knowing that I could rely on myself and figure life out on my own was really rewarding, even though at the same time it kind of sucked because they divorced me. But whatever. Okay. Number five is men are scared. this isn't just to be like, oh, men are so intimidated by me, because I'm kind of like, not that I'm over saying that. I just feel like that's another podcast. That's another time. That's another topic for another podcast. But men are scared in the sense that this is something I've learned from my brother and like my guy friends is the last thing guys want to seem is like weird or creepy. So first of all, tip, if you want to make a guy feel like shit, just tell him he's weird, because guys would literally rather be called the biggest douchebag ever than be called weird. It's so funny. Like the last thing they want to be on earth is weird. And if you just call them weird, that'll like freak them out. Like if someone ghosts you and then they hit you up again, which that has happened to me, don't be like, I feel like in the past I normally like would call them out and be like, I thought it was really rude of you. Like, I don't fork with guys like that, yada, yada. Now I'm like, oh, no biggie. I just thought it was weird. That like triggers them. They're like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean to. Like, I didn't mean to be weird. So that's like one thing. Peyton taught me that, my old roommate. Just call them weird. Like, they're so scared of the word weird. The other thing is they're scared because they don't want to seem creepy. I feel like, unfortunately, in this world, like, we deal with so many creepy men. And, like, guys like my brother know that. And they don't – and he hears me talk about it, like, oh, my gosh, this guy was so creepy. And he, like, freaked me out, yada, yada. So now he, like, takes – knowing that when he approaches girls, he's not as, like, forward as, like, I – as a girl would want a guy to be, because he doesn't want to seem creepy. So I don't know. Anytime I'm just like, anytime I'm interested in a guy, I don't overthink like, why isn't he talking to me too much? Or like, if he wanted to, he would too much. Like, just go up and start the conversation. Like, maybe he really wanted to talk to you. He was just like a little scared and didn't want to seem creepy. It's worked for me. Also, there's been so many times where like I knew a guy had a crush on me and I had a crush on them, but I felt like, again, they were just a little bit scared, maybe a little bit intimidated. I don't know what the case was, but I remember one guy, I was like, can I tell you a secret? He was like, sure. And I was like, you know, I have a crush on you, right? And then as soon as I said that, it was like light bulb went off in his head and he like started making moves. He started asking me on dates. He like the snowball effect, like shit started to happen as soon as I told him that. I feel like he was just a little scared. I don't know why. Maybe this is just the guys I'm talking to, but yeah, that's something I try to remember. Like, don't be afraid to just go up and at least get like open up the can of worms, you know, or like, don't be afraid to just get it started. Like, you don't have to like end up asking them out, but like, you know, throw them a bone, start talking to them, make it easy for them to ask you out, if that makes sense. I feel like most of the time, like, we're taught as girls, like, you know, go dance on the dance floor and never make eye contact and they should walk up to you. Like, I feel like that's a lot to ask for. Like, imagine being the guy. Like, I would be terrified. So I think just, like, make yourself open, smile, make eye contact, like, make it yourself available and way more guys will come up to you. And be less scared to, like, ask you out. Okay, number six is expectations are the resentments in the making. Oh, gosh, this is such a good one. Like, I feel like I've always heard this, but it really hit these last couple of years, especially with men. Oh, my gosh. Like, I feel like now my expectations are so low, not in, like, a, oh, I don't have any, like, morals or values when it comes to men. Like, I definitely do, and I do have certain expectations. But I feel like I am so much more happy when I am pleasantly surprised by people. And this goes back to, like, every man is for themselves. Like, whether that's your friends or your family, like, if they want to treat me, if they want to bless me, if they want to surprise me, if they want to help me, I let that be a moment of joy and surprise for me, and I enjoy that versus being like, I expected you to come and help me when I said I was fine and you needed to figure it out. Like, I feel like my old self was very, like, toxic in that way. I would be like, my, like, ex-boyfriend, I would be like, I'm fine, and then, like, expect him to show up and he was like, but you said you were fine. Like, I feel like now I'm just like, expectations are resentments in the making. Like, lower the expectations. If someone shows up for me and I wasn't expecting it, great. That makes me and my day so much better. Okay, number seven. This is, like, I feel like a big one that not that many people talk about. This is just, like, my hot take. Different types of friends are important. I feel like in our society, like, having a best friend is what everyone wants. Of course, like, I get it. Everyone wants that, like, best friend, bestie, like, moment, specifically just, like, for their Instagrams and Instagram captions, like, if we're being honest. But it's fun to call someone your bestie, your best friend, whatever the case is. I think it's actually more important to have multiple besties. And I feel like most people will be like, that is such a bad idea. Like, people that can't keep one friend are, like, so toxic. It's not that you're, like, jumping from one friend to another and, like, ditching the rest. I think it's just good to have options as friends, because then you don't put all the expectations on one friend, and when they don't show up for you for whatever it is you need help for, like, at least you have other friends to help you for different things. I realized this when I, like, moved to LA, because I had, like, my hometown friends, and then I had my, like, Fitum friends, and then I had my influencer YouTube friends, and then I had my work friends, and then I, you know, quickly had, like, my brother's friends, or, and then over time I had, like, my party friends, and then I had my brother's friends, and more work friends, and acquaintances, and event friends. And I have found that has helped me so much, because how can I expect one of my hometown friends to know when I'm upset about a YouTube comment when she is, like, so far removed from my, like, YouTube world? Or, like, how can I expect her to congratulate me on, like, a huge brand deal when she's just like, what does that even mean? Do you know what I mean? Or vice versa, like, how can I expect one of my event friends in LA to help me with, like, my family issues? Like, that's a lot of pressure to put on, like, one person. And I just think it's really important to have, you know, a few good hometown friends, a few, like, one or two or three. It's not like 5 to 10. That's great if you do, but I like to have different friends in different friend groups, because sometimes, you know, one friend in one friend group is going through it and maybe they need time apart from you, or maybe you need time apart from them, or whatever the case is. Like, life is hard. Life is sticky. And I have found having multiple friend groups and just, like, keeping up with them periodically from time to time has been really helpful for me. And I also, like, have friends in my head that like help me with designated things. Like, for instance, my friend Libby is like one of my best friends when it comes to guys. Like, I love talking about guys with her. Every time we catch up, she's like, how's so-and-so? Like, how was the date? Like, you know, how was your love life? How was the hookup? Like, we're always talking about that. Like, we get really deep with that. Some of my work friends, like, I never talk about hooking up with guys with, because I just like, I feel like that's weird. We love to bond over, you know, YouTube stuff or whatever the case is. Like, it's just, I like to have different friends for different things. Sometimes I have friends that love like the YouTube world. Sometimes I have friends that hate the YouTube world, but they love going to sports games. So I don't know. I think it's important to have different types. And also for me, like being in this world, in this like LA bubble, because yes, it does become a bubble. It's so like important and crucial for me to have friends that aren't in the bubble, because I feel like they like help me touch grass. Literally, like there's been times where I'm like, I look back and I'm like, who did I think I was? Or I was like having unreal expectations for my career, or, you know, what should be happening for me in my life or whatever the case is. And it's so nice talking to my hometown friends, because like they help me realize that your career and your job isn't the only thing that matters in life. Like, it's okay to get excited about the meal you're going to cook at home. It's okay if you don't want to work on a Sunday and you actually just want to reset and be hungover, whatever the case is. Like, I feel like it's just so important to have different types of people in your life that can add value in different areas. So that's my hot take on that. I don't know if some people will disagree, probably, but for me, that's what works. Okay, number 8 is no one is you, and that is your power. I've talked about this a gazillion times on this podcast, but seriously, the second I started leaning into me and what I like to do and who I am and owning where I'm from, owning that my parents are divorced, owning that I like tennis, owning that I'm from Indiana, like owning that I'm not a nepotism baby, like whatever the case is. I feel like I used to think like moving to LA, like I need to have this bag and this car and like have these connections. And it's just, it's very intimidating because everyone has all those things, or like that's what it felt like. And as soon as I started like honing into like my craziness and like saying fork and talking about boys or whatever it is, like that's when my like community and my followers leaned into me and felt like they could resonate with me the most. So yeah, it's just what makes you stand out. It's the only thing that will, is owning who you are and working it. Number 9 is FaceTime your friends. This is so simple and silly, but like the only way I can keep in contact with my hometown friends or my silly little friend in Nashville or my silly little friend in Chicago or whatever the case is me reaching out and FaceTiming them. I have a few things on this. The first thing is not everyone is good at reaching out. And that was a really hard pill for me to swallow, because I would be so confused, because every time I would talk to my friends from out of town that I wouldn't see periodically or by convenience, I was always the one reaching out. Like, they would never reach out to me, and it used to piss me off. And I would be like, why am I the only one reaching out? Like, this isn't fair. Like, I'm the only one that cares. They don't give a fork about me. Well, first of all, Taylor, you're posting your entire life in every little detail on the internet. It's easy to keep up with you. That's number 1. Number 2 is sometimes people suck at reaching out. And like, you know, I'm bad at a ton of things too. That's one of their flaws, right? I am lucky that I'm good at reaching out. That is one thing that I am good at. And because I'm good at it and I have finally realized that I'm good at it, I am owning that. And I'm fine with being the friend that reaches out. If they don't reach out to me, that's fine. It's not that deep. Reach out to your friends. And if you're bad at reaching out, it would mean a lot if you reached out to your friend who reaches out to you more, because it literally makes my day when my friends reach out to me. I'm like, they care so much. And I get it. Like, everyone's busy, but we all have like time in passing, whether it's like you're jumping on the train, you're going for a quick walk, you're taking your dog out, you're cleaning the dishes, whatever the case is, like you always can make a little time. I like to FaceTime your friends or call them. I call mine all the time when I'm in the car, when I'm cleaning, when I'm going on walks, like all the things I just said. I feel like anytime I'm in a funk or I feel weird and I randomly call a friend, it just helps me get out of my own head. Like, I feel like the world, whatever I'm like focused on is just like poof, it like disappears for a hot second, lets me get out of my own head and like focus on them. Like sometimes it helps. I don't even care if we talk about me. It just helps for me. Like I would love to be the listener and help my friend who I'm calling with their issue. Like it just helps to get out of your own head sometimes, especially I think with influencers when you're your own business owner and you're by yourself so much. Like it's nice to be like, what are your problem for every once in a while? Like, let me help you versus me like focusing and overanalyzing on like my little things every once in a while. Oh, another thing that I do is when I'm like driving and I'm like thinking, listening to music and someone pops into my head that I normally would never call, I try and actually force myself to call them. I haven't done this in a while, mainly because I haven't been in the car that much. But there would be times where I'd have like random ass people that pop into my head, like, oh, this so-and-so guy that I used to talk to and we were like really good friends and I kind of had a crush on him at some point. Like, I wonder how he's doing. I would convince myself that I need to call him. And I'm not kidding you, it would make their day. They would be like, whether it's a girl, a guy, whatever, they'd be like, oh my God, like, thank you so much for thinking of me. Like, this just made my day. Even if we can talk for 2 minutes, I think just showing that like you care or you thought of them, like telling someone, oh my God, I thought of you the other day. It really is endearing and means a lot. So I think, I don't know, push yourself. It's a fun way to get yourself out of your comfort zone too. Take a little risk, call someone that you thought of the other day. And yeah, one of my favorite songs is Always Been You by, I think it's Quinn92. He's really good. Anyway, in the song it says, when's the last time that you called someone just to say hi? Y'all don't want to hear me actually sing that, but that resonates with me so much. Like, I can't remember the last time anyone called me just to say hi, and I wish I could. So this is your sign. If you're watching my podcast and you're friends with me, call me. No, I'm kidding. But you would seriously make someone's day if you would just call someone randomly just to say hi with no like ulterior motive.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Number 10 is communication is key. I feel like it's so easy. I used to be one of those people where I was like, you know what, this isn't even worth bringing up. I'm just going to shove it under the rug, like grind through. And as I've gotten older, I've realized that having those little tough conversations along the way are what truly form a beautiful relationship with someone, whether it's a partner or a friend or a coworker. It's really important to be straight up. And I think it's like you owe it to yourself to be like, hey, that kind of bothered me when you did that. I'm totally cool with it now. I just wanted to let you know because I don't know. It happened again recently and it bothered me again and I don't want to build up resentment. I think if you just tell your friends that or be straight up with them and having little conversations along the way, it'll help you so much in the long run. A tip when it comes to that is Brené Brown, genius. When it comes to a hard or tough conversation, she has this trick where she'll say, the story I'm telling myself is, and then proceed with her statement. So recently I'm planning a trip to Europe and I really wanted my brother to come with me. And he was like being kind of iffy and driving me nuts, essentially, about whether he was going to go or not. And in my head, I was like, you're being lazy. Like, you need to make a plan. You're wasting my time. I could have asked someone else by now, yada, yada. But really, he was going back and forth because he was like, ah, can I take off work? And, you know, figuring out his own shit. So the best thing I could do is approach him and be like, hey, this is bothering me that you aren't making a plan. The story I'm telling myself is that you're being lazy and you're just waiting for me to make a plan and like draw the line. Is that the case, or am I completely wrong? Because that is the story that I'm telling myself. Then from there, he would be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry that you felt that way. I actually was really stressed about taking off work. I don't think it's going to work out. Thanks for bringing that up. The story I'm telling myself is A, B, and C. It's just a helpful way to be like, listen, this is why I'm mad, but like a nicer way. Makes sense. Okay, number 11 is trust your gut. Your gut and intuition are there for a forking reason. Like, trust your gut more than anything. Your intuition is so real. Like, I just cannot reiterate that enough. Like, there's a reason why you had a weird feeling about so-and-so entering your friend group. There's a reason, you know, a light bulb or like went off in your head, aka your gut, when so-and-so walked in the room and like the vibe changed. Or like, there's a reason why you felt the vibe change. Trust your gut. One thing my friends and I have done recently, because we had like a weird situation with someone in our orbit of people that we all agreed was not a good person to have around. And so we were all like, damn, like I wish we all felt weird around this person at one point or another. And we wish we would have just said something. But again, I was like, it's not worth bringing up. Like, I don't want to seem like I'm talking shit or I don't like this person. I just like felt weird. So what we now have is like a safe word. It's kind of like the safe word when you use with your friends when you're at a bar and you're like, this guy's being creepy. You're like, pineapple, like help me, save me, like help me, like get away from this guy. So come up with a new word with your friends, like, let's say it's mango. You're like, mango. You bring it up to your friends. You're like, hey, this is a mango thing. I don't know if I'm crazy. The story I'm telling myself is I had a weird feeling when so-and-so walked in. Was I the only one? I might be crazy. My gut went off. I got a weird vibe. I think that's good to have like a little safe word. So it's not like, I feel like this is a whole topic for another conversation. There's like a big difference between talking shit and venting. But like, I'm like, are they that different? Anyway, I think the mango thing helps reiterate that this is like, I need to bring this up to help keep the integrity of the friend group versus me just talking mad shit. Does that make sense? Number 12 is moderation over restricting. I used to restrict food like crazy. Trigger warning, with anything like eating disorder food wise. I don't have an eating disorder. I'm not going to talk about that, but this is about food. I used to be such a restrictor when it came to food, and I would be like, oh, no carbs, no whatever. And then it would be like, I would do that the whole week. And then Friday would come along and I would binge like on my cheat day. I would be like, oh my God, I need this. I need this. I need this. And then I'd feel like sick afterwards. And lately I've been having like breakfast burritos whenever I want. You know, if I'm craving a little ice cream at night, I have a few bites instead of like eating the entire thing of ice cream. Like, it has helped me so much. And actually, I feel like I'm more fit by like eating things in moderation versus like binging all at once. So yeah, just eat the damn ice cream, eat the pizza. If you're craving it, satisfy your craving. Life's too short. No one is going to notice if you ate the pizza or not. That's something I've learned at 25. I used to be such a restrictor. So yeah. That's over. We don't need to get too much into that. I feel like so many females deal with so much shit regarding food and fitness and whatever. And it's like, it's so hard to deal with and talk about. And I don't need to go into detail, but yeah, we all struggle with it. And just eat the whatever you want. Eat whatever the fork you want. That's what I have to say. Everything in moderation is key. Okay. Number 13 is hobbies are important. I used to think like work is life and then like party when you're not working. Like that's literally how I used to think. And now I'm realizing how much like hobbies are really important. basically, like, you need to find things in life that make you happy no matter what. So when all else fails, when your friends aren't showing up, when, you know, mom and dad are busy, whatever the case is, you know you can count on that one coffee that's a mile walk away that you just fucking love. Like, or, you know, for me, I love tennis. I fucking love it. I love golf. I love coloring. I love going to the beach with my friends, like things like that. You have to have hobbies you can rely on, or little things here and there that you can rely on that you know will make you happy. Like watching the sunset for me, I fucking love that. Like I didn't even realize, I feel like I was go, go, go so much. I didn't even realize how much that actually brings me joy. So just keep note, find hobbies and stick to them, you know, make them just as important in your routine as going to the gym is. And it could be once a week. They're important. Okay, number 14. You guys have heard it on this podcast. The iconic Eleanor Roosevelt quote, "Great minds discuss ideas, average minds discuss events, and small minds discuss people." The quote speaks for itself, truly. It's so true. Anytime I'm like talking mad shit about someone, I try and like, first of all, recognize that I am like, hey, red flag, you're talking shit. Like, is this worth it? You're probably losing brain cells. Clearly you got to work on something within yourself because you're talking mad shit about someone. I don't know. Like anytime I'm talking shit about someone, I try and remember like, okay, why am I doing this? And am I and the person I'm talking to, are we really that bored and boring that we have nothing to talk about other than shit about someone? Like, do we really have nothing in common? I guarantee you can find something in common that you can talk about other than shit about someone. So, yeah, I try and live by that. And just, I feel like the first thing is just recognizing when you're talking shit. Like, okay, let's wrap this up. I try and remind myself that. No one's perfect. Number 15 is, it's a no unless you ask. This has been like a game changer in my career and my like with podcast guests. No one's going to like waltz on in here with a silver platter like onto my podcast guests. It's not like Kris Jenner's going to walk in. Like, you really do have to put yourself out on a limb, whether it's for a boy you like or a girl you like or whatever. Like, put yourself out on a limb and ask. And if it's a no, at least you asked. Now, it's automatically going to be a no unless you ask. So that's a huge one for me. Number 16, this is so silly, but like huge in my world, is a little cleanup here and there is better than waiting for it to pile up and like cleaning the entire week because you've let so much pile up. So what I mean by that is I used to just like literally go in, do my hair and makeup, leave it a pigsty, come in the next day, do the same thing, make it even more of a mess. And by the end of the week, I'd be like, okay, I'll clean on Sunday. No, now that is not the vibe. I clean like 10 to 20 to 30 minutes every day. It's a part of my routine. When I'm done with in the kitchen, I try and like wipe things up. I don't let things sit for more than like 1 to 2 to 3 days. And that's been a huge game changer for me as well. Number 17. You have to be able to water your own plant before you can help water others. I feel like clearly there's a lot with me. I struggle with putting myself first, like really, which is crazy because I don't know. I didn't think I was so bad at that, but I really will like, I'll go out on a limb like when I don't have to help others or, you know, show off to others or make like validate other feel like I just do everything I possibly can to like make other people happy. And because I feel like it'll be validating on my end, like, oh, like they'll be so happy that I helped them or, you know, things like that. It's more of a selfish thing. I'm like, oh, I want them to praise me versus like me just doing what I need, like what I truly need, like help yourself first before you help others. It's okay to say no to things. And know in your heart that it's not that deep. Like it's not when people cancel on me, I am not mad. I'm happy because now I have time to like work on what I actually wanted to do or what I actually wanted to help myself with. So I think just like, yeah, keep in mind, like, you have to water your own plant, whether that's, you know, watering myself for me is like making time for the gym, making time to sleep, making time to do my own thing, making time to do things that make me happy. Because if I don't do that, I'll go crazy trying to please others. So yeah, I have an issue with trying to please others. I need to work on that. But that's something I've learned, so I need to water my own plant. This one's huge. I always talk about it on this podcast, but number 18 is launch now, adjust later. I cannot. This is probably my biggest thing. Like, these are words I live by. Launch now, adjust later. If you're waiting to start the business you've always wanted to, if you're waiting to move to the city you've always wanted to, if you're waiting for the right moment to kiss the boy you like, if you're waiting for whatever the fork it is, there's never going to be a good time. There's never going to be a good time for you to go to Europe. There's never going to be a good time for you to start tennis lessons. Like, it's never going to get easier. You're just going to get more busy. It's life's going to get harder. So there's never going to be a good time. Launch whatever the fork you want to now. And it's not going to be perfect. It'll probably be the worst it'll ever be. Launch now and adjust it along the way. You should look back at your project or whatever you're trying to start. Let's say it's a YouTube channel. You should look back at your YouTube channel in a year and be like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. My first video is so bad. That's good. That means you've moved on. You've progressed. You've learned how to, you know, film a little better. You've learned how to be a little bit more comfortable in front of the camera. You've learned how to make your thumbnails better and brighter and more poppy, and you've gotten more views, whatever the case is. It'll get better. Just launch now and adjust it later. The hardest part is launching. I wish I would have launched like half the things that I waited for way earlier than what I did. So this is your sign. Launch now, adjust later. Don't wait. No one is going to do it for you. Just do it. Okay, number 19 is delegate what you're bad at. So for me, for so long, it was like a pride thing when it came to editing. I was like, no, but I'm good at editing. And like, I don't want to be one of those YouTubers that like gives away my work. Like, only bad YouTubers do that. Like, that's literally what I thought in my head. It was like a pride thing. And the second I delegated and like hired Julia to help me with editing, it is for my mental sanity. Like, I, first of all, I'm so much better of a YouTuber now. I can actually do the fun editing that I want instead of like the rough cutting and, you know, the shit I don't need to be there for or I don't need to be doing. I much rather would delegate it. I work my ass off. I can afford her and delegate what you're bad at, because now I can hone in on what I'm good at, absolutely kill that, and hire someone that's better than me to accomplish what I was kind of bad at. Does that make sense? Delegate what you're bad at. It's worth it. It's worth the money too. Number 20 is be kind to everyone. This is such a silly one, but it's like so true. Even like, I think what I mean by this is not, yes, of course, the assistants, the interns, the nobodies always end up becoming a somebody, and how convenient that you were nice to them. Of course, everyone knows that, right? That's the one, like, if we're talking business-wise, yes, be nice for that reason. But I'm talking be kind to everyone without expecting anything in return ever. And it'll just make your life better. Like, when I say at the end of this podcast, I'm like, make someone's day. Like, actually try to make someone's day, because not only does it make their life better and their day better, but it makes me happy helping someone else. Like, it's weird. For some reason, it makes me happy doing that. So say hi to the person at your coffee shop that you go to. Smile at so-and-so walking out of the library when you're walking in. You know, talk to your grocery person, tell them you like their nails, tell them you like their whatever. Like, it's not that hard and it's not that deep. And don't expect anything in return, like expectations or resentments in the making. Be kind, just be kind to everyone. Also, good, kind energy attracts good, kind energy. Like, what you put out into the world and the universe and like whatever you believe in, God, whatever. Universe, whatever, crystals, I don't fucking care. Like, it is a thing. Like, whatever you put out, you will receive back. So, like, be kind to people no matter what. Like, go out on a limb for someone this week. You'll be surprised who will go out on a limb for you one day when you're not expecting it and they didn't have to, and how much it meant to you. Slay. Number 21 is exceed expectations. I think it's just important. I think this, mainly in a work setting, but also in relationships with, like, friendships and, you know, showing up. Like, it's so crazy, but in LA, like, when people show up to things that I invite them to, like, I am so grateful because I know it is a hassle. Like, the traffic's a lot. It was far away. There's a gazillion other things you could be doing right now. You could be working. You probably got invited to, like, 8 other events. Like, showing up, not only showing up means so much, but also, like, going the extra mile to, you know, bring a hostess gift, or that's not really a good example. Like, in a work setting, like, just do more than you have to, because, again, like, karma is real. Like, when you go the extra mile and you give, like, that'll come back to you in some capacity. The other thing with exceeding expectations is people expect you to show up to work and do your job. What they don't expect you to do is go the extra mile, do what you don't have to do, give them multiple options even though they ask for one. That's what gets you a promotion. That's what takes you to the next level. That's what gets you in a different tax bracket. Like, seriously though, like, if you do way more than what you're asked, people notice that and they remember it. And if you're consistent with doing more than what you're asked, you most likely will be rewarded. And if you're not, keep note of that and, I don't know, maybe reroute your career. These are all, like, overall umbrella things I've lived by. Not, like, please take everything I say with a grain of salt. Okay, number 22 is, just because it's convenient doesn't mean it's the right decision. This kind of goes with the FOMO thing, but I feel like with LA, I realized how many convenient friendships I had in Indiana because, like, of course we're friends. We have cheer practice every couple of days a week, so of course we're going to be friends because I'm around you conveniently all the time. You know, of course I'm friends with my brother's friends because they're literally always at my house. But now moving to LA, I'm realizing, oh, it's actually hard to, like, make friends and keep relationships, and, you know, because it's just a hassle. It's a hassle of the city for people to do things. And I feel like all the time, like, I'll be hanging out with people and they'll be like, okay, we want to go to this restaurant, when, like, secretly I wanted Panera or whatever the fork it is. Like, just because it was convenient and your friend group wanted to do that doesn't mean it's always the right decision. Like, again, this goes back to, like, me trying to please people. Like, sometimes Panera is what will truly make my day. And if that means I need to go home by myself and eat it, by all means, like, water your own plant, do what you need to do. Just because something's convenient and just because you're already on the west side and people are going out doesn't mean you need to go out if you don't want to. Does that make any sense? I hope it does. Number 23 is, your brain loves when you try something new. I'm a hoe for trying something new. I love trying a new restaurant. I love going to a new area or part of town. I love meeting new people. It seriously does, like, intellectually stimulate you. And of course, it's nice to have a routine, but I think doing little things here and there that are new and small, tiny risks are what help you take the bigger risks down the road, which ultimately help you level up your entire life. So start small and try something new. And you never know what can happen from that. People, food, things, places, everything. Try something new this week. Okay. Number 24 is, everyone loves to give a good recommendation. So that's why I think it's very important to ask for recommendations. So, like, you know, ask for a favor, ask for word of mouth is huge. Like, ask for good recommendation to a restaurant, ask for a good recommendation for a hard drive that you need for a computer, whatever it is. One, because people are flattered when you're the person that they ask. Like, when someone comes to me and they're like, hey, TK, I want to hire someone for my team and I trust you. Who do you recommend? Like, that means a lot to me because I'm like, wow, they trust me to, like, find someone for them to hire full time and them to pay. Like, that means a lot to me. So don't be afraid to ask for recommendations, but also simultaneously, don't be afraid to give good recommendations. And I just think that's, like, a fun little thing I've learned along the way. And also most of the time recommendations or places people say you should go or try are always going to be good, because the last thing they want to do is give a bad recommendation of where you go. And then I was like, oh yeah, so-and-so said to go here and it sucked. Like, they're not going to give you a bad recommendation. Most of the time it's good. I would say like 98% of the time it's good. Okay. And last but certainly not least, comparison is the thief of joy. I mean, hello, 25-year-old girl. Like, I feel like all we do is compare on social media, and I'm literally on social media as my job. Yeah, comparison is the thief of joy is so true. You know, someone's chapter one might be my chapter eight, or their chapter 10 might be my chapter one. Don't compare your story and your roadmap to anyone else, because you are you for a reason, and you are unique, and that's what makes you special, is that you're on a different path than so-and-so, even your best friends, even people in your orbit. Like, when so-and-so gets a really big career opportunity and it hasn't happened to me yet, or nothing remotely close has happened to me yet, or so-and-so, you know, is in a really great, awesome, lovey-dovey, sexy relationship, and I'm not even close to that, I'm like literally like swiping still. Like, they're in their peak season, and for some reason, and maybe I'm in my peak season in a different area of life, and I that's just something I try to remember. So yeah, a lot of those I feel like are overall umbrella statements and words to live by. They've helped me along the way, and trying to remember those like little nuggets of gold when you're going through it sometimes are the main things that help you get through a hard season or, you know, hard moment. And I don't know. I know some of them are cheesy, but they really have helped me. And those are, I guess, are the 25 things that I've learned at 25. And I'm really excited for what this year has in store. I feel like it's going to be a really big transformative year, and I'm really nervous. I'm really scared, but I'm really excited, because change is good. And for some reason, I don't know, when I turned 25, I was like, whoa, this just feels different. I don't know what's happening or what's going to happen, but I'm excited. And I will be sharing and documenting everything I learn along the way. So definitely subscribe to my YouTube channel. You can just search Taylor King on YouTube, and follow me on Instagram and TikTok at TK's Juicy Polls. And let me know if you guys like these types of podcasts. I would love to do more. Comment down below any topics or title ideas or podcasts you would like me to do in the near future, because I love reading your guys' comments, and you guys have the best ideas. So thank you so much. Thank you for an amazing, you know, past couple of years that I've shared my life on the internet, and wouldn't be here without you all. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. It means the world, and I'm so excited to see what 25 will bring. So be sure to make someone's day this week, and rate and review, comments, live, love, love. I love y'all. Peace.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging, so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.